The month of February has been an unusual month for us, a good month, because we've been allowing God, His initiative, not ours, but we've been allowing God to redefine us, to give us a new identity. We've been allowing God to send us in a new direction, give us a new direction. All of this embracing the idea that God is sending us on a mission, a new mission. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. In Bangor, Maine, the Bangor Daily News a few years ago carried an article about two men, one named Randy, the other named Gary. They both worked together in a furniture store delivering furniture. As they delivered furniture, people would sometimes comment that they looked alike. They would laugh and say, well, we've been working together for so long, we're like an old married couple, we're starting to look alike. Randy was adopted. And there in Maine, they passed a new law that allowed Randy to research his birth certificate. He discovered in that research that his biological parents had passed away. But he discovered that his parents had another son. A son that was born on June the 10th, 1974. So while Randy and Gary were out delivering furniture, it happened again. Someone told the two men they looked a lot alike. For the first time, Randy really looked at Gary and agreed. So Randy asked Gary, when's your birthday? Gary said, June the 10th, 1974. Later, in an interview with the Bangor Daily News, Randy said, I knew as soon as Gary told me his birthday, he was my brother. Brothers. Brothers. 1 year's difference in their age. Gary, 1 year younger than Randy. Both of them raised as only children. Grew up in neighboring towns. Played football against each other. And for a number of years, as one lifted one end of the couch, the other lifted the other end of the couch. Carried in. Never knew. Gary said, it's phenomenal. I still can't wrap my head around it. In that Bangor Daily News article, a coworker who knew both men said, there's nothing like family, especially when you don't have one. Now they have each other. So, from co-workers and acquaintances to brothers. Has it occurred to you yet, as we're preparing to go out into the subdivisions here around us, seeking out the weary and the worn out, seeking out the harassed and the helpless, has it occurred to you we have brothers out there? Has it occurred to you we have sisters out there? Brothers and sisters we've never met. We're going to be encountering people out there who will, because of our efforts, turn to Christ Jesus and give him their lives. And in that moment, they'll become brothers and sisters. They'll become family. Question today for us is, how devoted are we now to them? How devoted are we now to helping them? How devoted are we now to claiming them? 19 years ago, a man named Ken Waters woke up for the first time in his own bed in 19 years. 19 years earlier, Ken had been tried and convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. His sister, Betty Ann Waters, was convinced he was innocent. She never gave up on him. In fact, at her own expense, Betty Ann enrolled in law school for the express purpose of getting her law degree and setting her brother free. Upon graduation from law school, she petitioned the court for evidence from this crime 19 years earlier. She found in that evidence some DNA. She paid for the lab to process that DNA and compare it to Ken's DNA, and the results came back no match. And so after 19 years, Ken was set free and was reunited with his family, all because he had a sister that was devoted to him and was willing to give whatever it took to set him free. Do you find that unusual? Devotion is an interesting thing. It doesn't always make sense. Devotion has no boundaries. Devotion is willing to give whatever it takes. The title of this third study in our On Mission emphasis is A New Devotion. Let me see if you agree with me. Devotion is best demonstrated by giving. Do you agree? Devotion is not best demonstrated by things we say, not by confessions we make. Devotion is best demonstrated by giving. Do you agree? Last week, while I was preaching, many of you participated in our YouVersion Live, interacting with the sermon live. The question we asked you last week was, how do you feel about this plan to reach Pflugerville? Here are the results. Let's put them up on the screen. 7% of you said you're a little concerned. That's understandable. We're doing some new stuff. 22% of you said, it's a little intimidating. Man, I get it. I get it. We're like calves looking at a new fence. I don't know. But look, 72% of you said, we're excited. Excited. Yeah, that's kind of the camp I'm in. Of course, I'm ahead of you. I know what's coming. You don't. Excited about what's coming. So this morning, let's talk about devotion, and let's recognize that what's ahead of us is pretty exciting stuff. Pretty excited. Let's begin here. Let's begin by looking at the service of ministry. The service of ministry. We're talking about the service of ministry to these weary and worn out folks all around us. We're talking about the service of ministry to these harassed and helpless folks. Folks who are harassed and helpless to improve their situation at all without help from us. From us. What's that mean? What do we have to offer those people out there who are weary and worn out? What do we have to offer them? What can we possibly do to help them? I've got a video I want you to watch.
I'm Colin Busby. I've been part of the singles ministry for about 3 years now here. Before I got here, I was in a pretty bad place, and the singles ministry really opened me up to what a safe environment is supposed to be like. I was brought in and showed that good Christian fellowship can give you something that's the world can't offer, and it's been a real godsend for me.
My name is Tiffany Swikart, and I've been a part of Grace Women's Fellowships for 2 years. And the reason I love Grace so much is it allows us to develop closer relationships with other women as we grow towards God together. Personally, I like Grace because in the home study, it's just much easier to be yourself.
My name is Tiff Bosworth, and I'm the director of the food pantry at First Baptist Church. We had a gentleman pass by today who didn't know that we gave out groceries until he saw someone loading groceries in his car. So he turned around and came back to our food pantry. As we talked with the gentleman, we found out that he didn't know the Lord. We led him to the Lord, and he was such a joy to talk to. And as he left, his last words were, "You have made my day today."
I'm Michelle Treader. I've been doing the Faith Bible Studies now for 3 years. Going into the Bible study, I was just thinking it was just going to be another study of a story in the Bible. And come to find out, I met a lot of great women who became friends and great supporters. And through the Bible study, I realized that even though I'm just an ordinary person, I can still be used for God's work.
Hi, I'm John Walker. I've been at FBC for about 3 years now. I found divorce brought a lot of pain, confusion, and hopelessness. Through divorce care, I found a lot of support, and I found a lot of good counsel and godly wisdom, and honestly, that it just brought hope for a real life after divorce.
You know, these people represent the many folks, you know, that our ministries have ministered to. We have these ministries, and we have many more. One of the problems, one of the challenges we had as a staff was determining which of our many ministries to feature here this morning. We have many ministries. These folks and many others, have received ministry through our First Baptist Church ministries. We can offer the weary and worn out these ministries. We can offer them hope. We can offer them strength. We can offer them connection. We can offer them joy. We can offer them promise. We can offer them a future. So in answer to the question, what can we offer? What do we have to offer the people living in these subdivisions? As I told you last Sunday, we have 69 subdivisions in Pflugerville. What do we have we can possibly offer these subdivisions? We have hope. We have direction. We have connection with others. We have support. We have promise. They're looking for what we have. We don't think about it, but it's absolutely true. Last week, I showed you many of the facets of and the parts of our handout. Let's put that back up there again so no one forgets what it looks like. This handout is what we're going to put on the doorknobs of the people in our subdivisions, one subdivision at a time. And our hope is that this handout will find them at a particular moment in their lives when they're exhausted with life, when life is just beating them up. Our hope is that this handout will find them at a time when they're really searching, they're really hoping something will come along that will guide them along the way. This handout features some of our ministries. We can offer them needed help. So, our new devotion involves the service of ministry. Our new devotion involves something else, involves the service of giving. For the last two Sundays, the Lord used the metaphor of the harvest to teach us some things about who we are, how he's redefining us, how he's redirecting us, a new direction he's sending us, which is exciting stuff. But the Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of the harvest also to teach us something important about ministry. I ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look down at verse 6 with me. Paul says this, "Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he's decided in his heart, not out of regret or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So, Paul's talking to the folks in the Corinthian congregation there about giving financially to help the folks in Jerusalem. And he reminds them of what they already know, and that is, generous sowing leads to generous harvesting. Generous giving results in generous results. If they want a bountiful result, then it begins with bountiful giving. That's not strange news to us either. Let's continue here in verse 10. "Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide, multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness as you are enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us." In other words, God provides the seed. It all comes from him. God provides the money. You haven't generated the seed. You haven't generated the money. It all belongs to him. Keep this in perspective. "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. Through the proof," we'll come back to that, "through the proof of this service, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others. And in their prayers for you, they will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God on you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You know, there's way too much stuff in this passage for me to get into here this morning. So let me point out just a couple of things. There in verse 12, if you have your Bibles open, he mentions the ministry of this service. By service, he's referring to giving. So this reference here is to the ministry of giving. Their giving to help the folks in Jerusalem was a ministry. And what we need to recognize here this morning is that our giving to help the folks in Pflugerville is a ministry also. Another thing I should point out is in verse 13 where he refers to the proof of this service. In other words, by their giving, they were proving themselves. They were proving something. This whole discussion on giving began back in chapter 8. If you look back at chapter 8, verse 8, Paul says, "I'm testing the genuineness of your love," or I'm testing the genuineness of your devotion," is really the idea there. So their giving to help folks in Jerusalem was proof of their love. And our giving to help the folks of Pflugerville is proof of our love also. It's proof of our devotion. If devotion is best demonstrated by giving, this is the demonstration of our devotion. I want to come back to this in a moment. First, I want to introduce you to something new. This is a month of newness that's going to help us with our giving. Let's show them this next video.
I don't know about you, but I have no idea where our checkbook is because we never use it. We use our debit cards and credit cards to purchase everything. And when we want to manage our purchases, we have our online banking. We can see our credit card statements online, and we take care of it all right there on the computer or on our phone. If I want to deposit a check, I can take a picture of it and deposit it that way. We can manage our budgets using an app. We manage our money digitally. Maybe you're not like me, but call it a hunch. I'm guessing many of you also manage your money digitally as well, which is why I'm really pumped introduce to you SecureGive. SecureGive is absolutely fantastic. And what's really exciting about it is finally now technology can keep up with our generosity. So go ahead, get out your cell phone. Yeah, it's that time again. Get out your cell phone, open up your App Store, your Google Play Store, and search Secure Give in your App Store. Search Secure Give in your App Store. Download that app. And while you're downloading that app, I'm going to play a short video clip that's going to tell you about the three new ways that you can give using Secure Give.
Giving is easy and safe with our giving platform powered by Secure Give. Giving can be done from anywhere with your computer, tablet, or your mobile device. To give, simply go to the church's website, create a new account, or log in with your existing account. Simply select one-time or recurring gift. Select your donation amount, enter your payment info, and then confirm your information. Visit our website and click on the giving button to learn more. Maybe you're an iOS or Android user. If so, you have an additional opportunity to streamline your giving with the free Secure Give app. Simply search Secure Give in the App Store or Google Play Market. Once downloaded, open the app and search our church name to save as your home organization. Just like with online giving, you can create a new account or use your existing Secure Give account to log in, give, and connect with us. But wait, did you also know there is now a way to participate in generosity in a way that's as easy as texting a friend? With Text to Give, you can give using your mobile device by following these three easy steps. Number one, text the keyword and amount you'd like to give to our church's Text to Give number. Number two, follow the series of prompts and set up your Secure Give Text to Give account. Here, choose your desired payment method. And finally, number three, save the number as a contact in your phone for future use. Text to Give only takes seconds to use and is the perfect way to connect with our ministry through giving.
Pretty sweet, huh? Now, before this video ends, I want to give you a couple FYIs. The first thing is that we really want to encourage you to use your debit card or your bank account when you give. We're big believers in the Financial Peace University and the principles that are there. The second thing is that the old online giving system will still be in place for a couple months. That way you have some time to transfer over to Secure Give. The third thing is that we will send out a link this week in the church e-news that gives you access to the Secure Give online giving platform. That way you don't have to go look for it. Now, when summer comes around and we're taking selfies on vacation, we can still be selfless with our giving.
Well, I hope that's a help to you. It's certainly an asset we're making available to everybody. Now, you know, if you're asking, which you may be, how does our giving help the weary and the worn out? How does our giving help the harassed and the helpless around us? I need to explain this to you. There are two kinds of ministries that we have, two kinds of expenses that we have. We have things like insurance and van payments and salaries and mortgage payments. Those kinds of things are called hard expenses. We have to do those. We have no option. The other is called soft expenses. Those things include giving to international missions, giving to support orphanages, giving to subsidize mission trips, giving to scholarships, giving to our ministries to uplift and support our ministries. Those are soft expenses. Here's the deal. If our giving goes down, if our giving begins to dwindle off, we have to pay the hard expenses. We have no choice. Do you know what suffers? The soft expenses. What suffers is we're not able to subsidize mission trips. We're not able to give to foreign missions. We're not able to help start new church works. We're not able to support the ministries that you've seen focused on here this morning. So when we give, we can support all these missions. When we don't give, those ministries don't get supported. Now, three times this last year, our giving has gotten so low and our financial situation has gotten so critical that But I've had to send out mass church-wide emails. Did you get those? I sent out church-wide emails saying, folks, we're in dire straits. We need to ramp up our giving and catch up on our giving. And every time we've done it, every time, we've come with our funds and we've given and brought ourselves back up to a survivable level. I've had to do that three times. Look at me. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to come to you with hat in hand, bashfully, broken, as your under-shepherd saying, we need more money. I don't want to do it anymore. You understand why I'd be that way? I don't want to do it. So here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that all of us give more in 2016 than we did in 2015. How much more? That's up to you. I don't care. But I'm asking everyone to look at our own situations and give more in 2016 than we did in 2015. I know this. If 200 of us, now there are 600 or 700 of us here this morning in the two services. If 200 of us just gave $20 a month more, that would be $48,000 more at the end of the year. Just $20 more. If 200 of us gave $30 a month, whoa, break the bank. $30 a month more, that would be $72,000 more at the end of the year. You see where I'm going with this? You got to give more. Dig deep and whoa. Give $20 or $30 a month more. If we were just to go without food and shelter and medical expenses, if we were to take money out of our children's mouths and give $40 a month more, $40 a month more, whoa, who can do that? $40 a month more, we would have $96,000 more at the end of the year. Get out your card. You've already seen it there in your worship guide, haven't you? It says, a new devotion. Get it out. Get it out. This is not a spectator sport. I've gotten bolder in 25 years, haven't I? Write your name, print your name at the top. And I can hear you now. Oh, no, he's going to ask me to give $20 a month more. I'm going to bolt and go, you know. $20 a month more. Write your name on top. It reads, I, Steve Washburn, don't write Steve Washburn on yours, by the way. I, Steve Washburn, am devoted to supporting our ministries to the weary and worn out in Pflugerville. Now, I'm going to give you three options. Option A, I'll begin giving $20 a month more in 2016. Option B, I'll begin giving more than $20 a month more in 2016. How much more? It's up to you. I'll give $20 a month more, or I'll give more than $20 a month more. Some of you can give much more than $20 a month more. Now, some of you, you know, may be out of job, maybe really in financial straits, and we understand that, we recognize that, and can't do anything more than what you're already doing. Here's what I'm going to ask of you. Put the third one up there. I'll be a prayer warrior for the church finances in 2016. We are a people of prayer. In fact, right now I've got a deacon back here behind the choir praying for this service. We do that every Sunday. I don't know whether you knew that or not. Every Sunday we've got a deacon in the first service, a deacon in the second service back here praying for this service. We are a people of prayer. I need people. We need people. God needs people praying for our church finances daily. A lot of people praying for our church finances daily. So if that describes you, circle number C. I'm hoping you'll circle either A or B and C. When we talk about a new devotion, what we're talking about is being prepared to demonstrate our devotion by our giving. Nobody's being asked to sacrifice cable. Nobody's being asked to sacrifice food or movies or candy bars or chocolate, you know. All of us are simply being asked to ramp up the demonstration of our devotion to God a little bit. We're all being asked to ramp up our demonstration of devotion to the weary and the worn out all around us here. We're going to go out and find our brothers and sisters if we're not going around pinching pennies trying to figure out how we're going to pay our mortgage payment this month. If we're not wringing our hands and, oh God, help us, trying to figure out how we're going to pay our insurance this month. If we can financially support being ministers in this community, we're going to do a whale of a lot of good. Can we do this? 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 I pray so. A new devotion. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are devoted to you. We really are. That's why we're here. We could have been a lot of other places this morning, but we're here. In this portion of Scripture and in other portions of Scripture, you simply ask us to demonstrate our devotion in the way that is most dear to us, with our giving. Help us. As small as it is, as painless as this is, we still ask for your help. We pray that you make out of us a congregation that is on fire for our community, reaching them with your helping hand, with your healing hand, with your love. Use us to do that. Use us to do that. Keep your head bowed for just a moment. Let me ask you this. By suggesting that we demonstrate our devotion by our giving, the ultimate giving in our expression of devotion is giving our lives. And we need to recognize this is what Jesus asks. His invitation was always just two words: follow me. Follow me. Stop what you're doing and follow me. Stop the way you're living and follow me. Stop that lifestyle and follow me. Drop those friends and follow me. Follow me. You know, if you came this morning and you're fed up with the old life, if you're fed up with a defeated, dark life, if you've never come to the point in your story where you've clearly and surely turned your back on the old lifestyle. You know, we're no longer going to defend it. Lord, I'm not going to defend my lifestyle to you. I'm just going to leave it behind. If you've not come to the point where you've turned your back on your old life and turned to Jesus and just cried out to him, Lord Jesus, if you'll forgive me and cleanse me and give me victory over my old sinful life, I'll trust you and follow you. In that moment, Jesus forgives us and cleanses us and moves into us with his Holy Spirit. If you can't say with 100% certainty that you've come to that point in your life, that you've expressed your devotion to him by giving your life, do it this morning. Do it this morning. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure I know what that means. That's okay. You don't have to know what it means. We have We have loving men and women who are well trained as counselors. They're down here waiting. You just come. You just come. They'll visit with you, pray with you, and you can leave here today a new person. Maybe you've already done that, but you sense a yearning and a pulling in your heart today by the Holy Spirit that He really wants you to take part in the life of this congregation. We understand that. We felt that also. You come. Come. Come and present yourself. Let's pray for you. It may be that you need to come to the altar. Many have already done so. Let's just get real with Jesus. And let's get our business solved today before we leave. Lord and Savior, we need your help. We're weak. We're confused. Draw us to you now. We pray it in your name. Amen.